Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today I have on a new guest. I can't wait to get into this topic with her. Her name's Jennifer Watts, or Jen Watts. I always call you Jen. Jen is a CPA, but you know, she's gone through this career transition. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with you today too, Jen. This to a certified life coach and a nutrition coach. And you specifically work with women that have ADHD and that are looking to really, you know, I guess like you talk about sort of like sustainable weight loss is like sort of one area, but it's this whole approach to like life, wellness, you know, and so we're going to get into some of those topics today. Did I nail it right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay. Awesome. So Jen, let's talk a little bit about like, I'm curious about this whole CPA. So like, how long were you a CPA? What made you decide to go into like life coaching and nutrition coaching?
Yeah, it's a big transition. And people are always so surprised when I tell them, I'm actually a CPA as well. And they're like, what? So I still am a CPA. I still occasionally do that kind of work. But I kind of went up through the ranks, got my designation and worked in public practice for a long time. And my husband's also a CPA. And we just kind of got to this point, maybe about 3 years ago, life was just lifing. Like it was, we went through like sort of a rough period with the age of our kids and kind of realized like we're working, not really living. Mm-hmm. And kind of realized like we didn't really want to be living our lives that way anymore. And we ended up, we had our own practice. We sold our practice, moved to the island. We live on Vancouver Island now. We used to live in the suburbs of Vancouver, and just wanted to have a slower life for our kids especially. And at that time, I kind of thought it was like a perfect opportunity to kind of revisit whether that was actually what I wanted to do anyhow. And around that time, I ended up getting diagnosed with ADHD myself after my kids had it. And it was just sort of a light bulb moment for me, realizing the impact that that was having on all these areas of my life, but in particular when it came to my physical health and some struggles that I'd had with my weight, you know, for most of my adult life. And I just, it just like, I had such an interest in it. And so I just kind of pivoted and dove right in and decided that I really wanted to help other women who had experienced similar things to me. So that's how I ended up going down that route instead.
Okay. And so, if you're okay with this, I'm just kind of curious. So you, got diagnosed after, you know, working with your kids and realizing kind of like what they needed, you went and got tested. Now, looking back on your life, like where you are now, would you say that this is like a latent development of ADHD, or did you kind of always have it and just not aware of it? Never diagnosed as a kid. Like, I mean, like I look back, like when I was a kid, like we didn't really do a lot of that back then. Right. Like, you know, our parents weren't necessarily aware and people weren't necessarily talking about it as much. So I'm kind of curious, like, do you see now it's like, oh, patterns, you know, that you would have, or decisions or choices that you would have made. I'm just kind of curious how you like sort of look at it back now.
No, that's such a great question, Brenda, because especially for girls, women, people assigned female at birth, like, It is a completely different experience to the way it is with boys. And I think there's a lot of the assumption that like, oh, ADHD is just like a little boy who's bouncing off the walls and can't keep still and can't focus. And it's just very different. And so I actually was not diagnosed until a few years after my son. My son was the first one to be diagnosed. And I had been actually, my doctor diagnosed me with anxiety and depression when I was 14. And this is really common in women to look like looking back, because a lot of us are diagnosed not, you know, later into adulthood. I mean, I was in my 40s, which is very common. And now I can look back and see so many things that I had struggled with that I just thought were, that's just my personality, or I just assumed everybody struggled with those types of things that were in fact a symptom of this neurological disorder. So it would be, you know, even things as simple as, you know, social interactions that are just a little bit different, or feeling misunderstood, or time blindness, like so many little things that the other thing too, is that we so often will kind of mask. Like we develop these coping mechanisms to account for these ways that we work differently. And so there were so many, right. so many areas of my life where I realized I had done that. And it was really interesting because I can see in retrospect why the shift into motherhood was sort of a challenge for me, because those coping mechanisms kind of go out the window when the kids come along because there's not a lot of structure anywhere. Right. So, I mean, it was kind of a relief to have all of that make sense. And yeah, just really interesting. So yeah, it is something that you're born with, in my case anyways. And yeah, I can definitely see it all the way back to when I was really little. Yeah.
And so you mentioned like leaving, like you told us the whole story about like leaving your CPA job and then mm-hmm. now starting your business as a life coach yeah. and a nutrition coach, working mm-hmm. with women that have ADHD because you want to help them through mm-hmm. your own experience. What's that transition been like for you with someone like that's an entrepreneur that has ADHD? I'm just kind of curious, like if that's okay, if I can still kind of like open the door a little course. Bit more.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really funny is that like people with ADHD are very, very commonly entrepreneurs. I heard somebody saying the other day, it's something like 300% more likelihood to go into entrepreneurship than the average person. I don't know if that's true or not, but, really? Okay. yeah. And so I think it's just the way our minds operate. We just think outside the box, very naturally creative. Right. So it was a big shift for me. I was so used to being a rule follower and operating from a place of like, I want to be the best employee and be praised all the time for everything. And then when you go to work for yourself, it's like, well, there's nobody here telling me I did a good job or telling me how to do it properly. Right, yes. And it's a little scary. It was scary and overwhelming for me at first. And not having that structure of a job that just exists there for you. Mm-hmm. So that right. part took a while for me to get used to that. And I still have days where it's like, you know, I'm naturally not a very organized person. And so I have to focus on it and be really intentional about those types of things. So it was a big learning curve, of how to operate just in the regular day-to-day kind of things of running a business, was for sure a big learning curve, and it's so different, but I love it. Love it. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the nutrition and health. Because again, I think, you know, like when we talk about sort of midlife women, those are a lot of the women that are tuning into this mm-hmm. podcast. And I know you work with a lot of women midlife. You mentioned that you're in your 40s. Mm-hmm. I mean, the challenges of like nutrition and, you know, maintaining, you know, like you talk about sustainable weight loss, but also just like maintaining like, you know, a healthy, you know, vitality, right? Like I notice it a lot. Like I kind of started noticing it definitely like sort of late 30s, 40s, but I was still in my corporate job. And I used to just think of that as being just like overtired. I used to fly a lot mm-hmm. with my job. So I'd be like, oh, I'm just jet lagged. I'm this, you know, it's just taking a little bit longer. Kids were younger, so I get more flus and stuff from them. But definitely as I started getting into my 50s, it was just mm-hmm. like it didn't really matter if I was working out 20 days out of the month or 30 days out of the month. Like I was like things were just not coming off as easily. Right. Or it was like, you know, coming out of the winter months when we're cocooning more and like snacking mm-hmm. more, Christmas cooking or whatever those things are. Like I just wasn't necessarily losing it as quickly. What's the difference between, I guess, like in your experience, midlife women that are going through that versus women that are going through that sort of phase that also have ADHD? Is there a difference? Like, what is that mm-hmm. specifically?
Yeah. So, I mean, for everybody, I mean, it is just like you touched on, Brenda, like when we get a little bit older, we maybe start to head into the perimenopause, menopause years, our hormones just affect those types of things. Right. And so it's not uncommon to feel more fatigue. Our sleep is different, like all of those kind of things that all impact that. Those aspects right. of health, and especially when it comes to weight loss too, because I think it's so easy to forget about all of the other factors that go into it besides just you know, eat less, move more. Like there's so many other factors that impact it, including sleep, hydration, your emotional state, your, all of those things. And so I think like the hormones play a big part in it, and I'm not an endocrinologist, so I don't really want to speak to that too much, but it does have a big impact. But there's also a big connection there for women with ADHD, which, you know, hasn't been explored as much as we would like scientifically, because a lot of the research on ADHD was done on boys and men, as with so many other things. Yes, and of course,
as most, you know, situations in women's healthcare, right? It's just like, yeah, like women's bodies are not the same as
men's
bodies, for sure.
They are not. Yeah. And so all of this research has been done on males, as well as like the impacts of the medication, all of that type of stuff. But now they're starting to recognize how much of an impact our hormones have on these, you know, the way that that ADHD affects us and how we function, you know, with our neurotransmitters, all of these things, it's all connected. And so, honestly, there's not a lot of research specifically into it, but we do know that there's a connection to this. So it can really heighten, like going through these transitions, perimenopause, menopause, even when girls start to menstruate, that is often when these symptoms are heightened for them. And that's, you know, why a lot of, like, especially in, like, in, that was my experience of this, the anxiety and depression diagnosis right around the time that you start to get your period, is happens to a lot of them. And so that the same thing happens on the other side when your hormones start to shift. It's really impacted how these symptoms show up for them. So
Well, I love that explanation. So, I mean, I think that this is going to be something that we're going to continually learn about. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously women's healthcare, I mean, there's such a more heightened awareness around perimenopause and menopause,
yes,
how women's hormones are impacted differently than men in midlife. And so mm-hmm. now, like, there's going to be someone that's going to come up with this research study, right? Like, it's going to
I hope so.
Yeah. And we're going to learn more about it. And what are some things that we can do to, you know, prepare ourselves at different stages of hormone growth and changes, mm-hmm. you know, throughout our life as a woman, girl to woman, et cetera. So, what are some ways that, like, when a client like reaches out to you and you mm-hmm. work with them, like a woman that has ADHD and is like, you know, interested in like looking at nutrition, their health, their weight management, what does that process look like?
Yeah, well, to me, the biggest impact and approach that I take that would be different from the way other people might approach it is, so much of this is emotional, psychological, like mental, all of those aspects of things, because there's a lot of programs out there, you know, just telling you to count your calories or macros or whatever the case may be. But when I talk to women with ADHD, and this has been my experience too, there are so many other factors in how we think and operate that mm-hmm. are going to heavily impact whether that's even applicable to you. I mean, it's the starting point really is with the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions and how those things are impacting what you do on a day-to-day basis. So, and I take a very personalized approach as well, because even although physiologically we are all the same in that, like, it's an energy balance thing when it comes to, mm-hmm. you know, any kind of changes to your body composition. But if we aren't addressing the way that we think differently, the way that we operate differently, there's no point in trying to band-aid on this like quote unquote solution of just eating less, especially for women with ADHD, because for food is so much to us. Like for anybody with ADHD, it can be like a source of like stress reduction. It's often used as when people are bored. It can be used for like so many other aspects to it, but even things as like the way that our executive function is different has a big impact, right? Because when you think about planning out what are you going to do for the week, if your brain doesn't work that way, just telling somebody to do that doesn't work. So yeah, so it all comes down to just taking that individualized approach and dealing with the awareness of their thoughts and feelings that are impacting this.
Well, just going back to So thank you for sharing that. But like going back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, folks that, you know, have ADHD generally, mm-hmm. like you said, go into entrepreneurship, they're highly creative, mm-hmm. they tend to go outside the box. So I would imagine when we're talking about nutrition and meal planning and menu planning and all that sort of stuff, although it can be helpful tips, it's like to keep up with that might be, again, counterintuitive to how someone with ADHD, I'm making that assumption, would operate, right? Like, it's like, okay, exactly. Thank you for that meal plan. I'll try it. I'll do it for like 1 or 2 weeks. And then I want to like augment it. I just want to ditch it and like go off grid or something and create from it. But if they don't have some of those principles that you're talking about around mm-hmm. like diving into your thoughts, like exploring your feelings around food, weight, your appearance, all those things, right? It can just sort of set off more triggers for them. And, you know, the fact that they're probably not going to stick to the menu plan that you gave mm-hmm. them mm-hmm. and they're going to go off grid after 1 or 2 weeks, but then like they're going to be right back at zero again.
Absolutely. And the way you described it is exactly what I see time and time again, is this cycle of, okay, I would like to mix. I want to feel better in my body. I want to feel more energized, whatever the case may be, whatever their desire is, which is A-okay. And then they'll look for some kind of resource and think this is going to be it. I'm going to do this thing. And then it doesn't work for them. And then after a few weeks, and then they think, oh, I must be me. There's something wrong with me. I'm the problem. I can't make this work. And then after all of that effort, they've put in all that mental effort, had no change. And now they just feel worse about themselves. And then the cycle begins again and again. And it's exhausting. And the other thing too, is that we are so, we're kind of externally driven as people with ADHD. Like we mm-hmm. operate well with deadlines. We operate well with like something, if something is exciting to us or interesting, and if it's not, we can't do it. And so it's easy for us to think those things are going to be the answers for us. But then mm-hmm. when we don't have the recognition of what's actually going on inside of us, it's just, we just physically cannot make a follow through with those types of things. So it's really important to tap into that. And I don't think a lot of people really make that connection of what kind of an impact that can have on them. They just spend so much time, which is what I'm really passionate about, is they spend so much time thinking they are the problem. And I just want to let them all know, like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just have to find the approach that works for you.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, like, why didn't this checklist or this meal plan work for me, or this grocery list work for me? It's not mm-hmm. about that. It's just, I think it's definitely like what you said about like exploring the thoughts, but this could be mm-hmm. for anybody, I think too, right? It's not just Absolutely. People with ADHD. I mean, I think like, you know, the weight loss industry, I guess is the best way to say mm-hmm. it. I'm not really an expert in that space. And that's why I defer to folks like yourself. But, you know, there's a lot of like, misogyny and, uh-huh. you know, patriarchal thinking in that, where it's like women, especially young girls too, right? The whole model mm-hmm. fashion industry, not to knock models because it's an occupation, but, and women are obviously a large part of that, but it's just more like the stereotype of like the perfect girl, the perfect woman. And that, you know, we have to be a size 4 or whatever, size 6, right? And 5'9" and look great in heels and jeans and, you know, all these things, right? And so mm-hmm. it's, I think what you're saying too is to, well, one, if that is something that you're struggling with, let's explore those thoughts, right? Because do those thoughts feel good for you? Do you need to have those thoughts? You know, are they serving you in this nutrition plan, right? But it's mm-hmm. like, oh, what's really what you want, you know, out of this weight management plan? Is it to feel good in my body? Is it to have more energy? Is like when I sleep at night that I can actually go through my whole night's sleep? And mm-hmm. I may also want to fit into those jeans, but it doesn't necessarily mean I need to fit into a pair of jeans that are like, you know, 10 sizes smaller than what I'm wearing right now. It's just, like, so I don't know, that's where I'm sort of going with it. But I guess I want to hear your take on it, because, you know, I also, like, for people that are listening, it's like, people want to be healthy out there. And part of mm-hmm. being healthy is eating right, and the physical energy and the food energy that you get from eating. But it's also not necessarily falling into that stereotype, like, oh, we're talking about weight loss because we want to go down this, you know, perfection road.
So I just want to hear your thoughts on that. Yeah, I have so many thoughts on that. And it's sort of a touchy subject because I do talk about weight loss, which a lot of people are like, and I understand that hesitation because I don't want to be part of diet culture by any means. And I would never tell somebody they needed to lose weight. That is like, I think that's so much of why I'm here too, is because I want to be a safe place for people that if you in your core, in your heart, and from your own desires want to make changes because you want to feel better, I want to help you. But that is like, that's another reason why people with ADHD and really anybody needs to really examine the purpose or the reason why, the why of why they want to do any of it. Because if they don't have a good reason, if they're doing it because they think they should, or because somebody told them they need to do it, they're not going to see success with that. And they shouldn't, right? The only reason you should ever, or the only reason that you would ever want to do that, is because it's something that matters to you and is meaningful to you. And you maybe want to feel healthier, or you want to play with your kids, your grandkids, like whatever the case may be. But it is kind of funny, like, to feel like I'm sort of in this no man's land in the middle where I'm like, I want to be here for you and like be a safe place to talk about these things, but I am not going to give you any kind of a rigid diet plan. It doesn't work. And it's not healthy mentally to do that kind of stuff. But I also don't really fall into the other camp of saying that like there's anything wrong with wanting to change your body, or that that's a bad thing, because I think that people have autonomy. People are entitled to want what they want, and what matters to them matters to them. And yeah, that was kind of, I mean, I do obviously have a lot of thoughts around all of those things, but it really comes down to what is meaningful to you and a true healthy desire. That's the only way you're going to see success with that kind of stuff anyways.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, it resonates with me. I just went in and had a physical with my doctor, right? You know, got all the blood work done and stool samples and everything, right? So it's just, and knowing like, okay, this is where I'm at. Like, I'm 54 years old and I actually, like, you know, cholesterol was great. Glucose was great. You know, all those things were great. Mm. But I also have a family history of type 2 diabetes. Grandparents on both mom and dad's side, dad. So it's like, I have to be aware of that. And, you know, my doctor said, like, you may just have the type 2 diabetes gene. You may just get it. Right now you're in the safe zone that you don't have it. But, you know, as a midlife woman, here are some things that are changing for you hormonally. Like, your body is processing food differently than when it did when you were 20 and 30. So you may be able to have ice cream like when you were, you know, 20s and your 30s at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night as a bedtime snack, which is what I did. I'm a little hungry. I'm going to have like a bowl of ice cream. Yeah. Well, she's like, your body's going to store that now more, right? And that means like you're just absorbing more of that glucose. You're not like allowing that time for that glucose to burn off. And if you do have a history of type 2 diabetes, like, you got to be aware of it. Like, I'm not necessarily significantly overweight. Could I lose a few pounds? Sure. But it's more understanding like those things around my nutrition that I think are so important.
Yeah.
Because do I want to be on 14 prescription drugs, which is, I think, the average American right now is something like 12 to 14 prescription drugs. And I don't want to blow that out of proportion, but I'm like, no. I may be going on a prescription like once every like 3 or 4 years. You know, that's been my history. And not to knock anyone that has to use that, but if we can avoid some of those things, because we're just more aware of like how our body operates and, you know, and that it's changing, right? Especially for women hormonally. I think that's the big thing, is that it's going to continue to change and just to be aware of it.
Well, what I was just going to say, Brenda, what you were saying there too. I mean, that's just a perfect example of that too, with, you know, if you decided that you did want to lose a few pounds, or like if somebody told you that you should, that feels very different than, and you think, oh, I can't have ice cream. I can't do this. It's very restrictive. I can't do all these things, as opposed to thinking of it from the lens of, you know what? I want to feel good when I wake up in the morning. I want to feel energized. I want to be able to like stay without a bunch of medications. It feels very different. And when we're thinking of it from through that lens of like, I just want to be this version of myself is a very different approach than feeling like, oh, I have to do this for this reason.
Yeah. It's just, and I'm a bad person or someone told me that I'm doing something wrong, which is true. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's the whole conversation that I always talk to, like with entrepreneurs anyways, around their business. It's like, we can talk about all the things that aren't working well in our business, but what do you want it to be? And you know, and getting clear around what those thoughts are, the feelings that we have around it. How do we release some of those things so we're not like penalizing ourselves? I like this approach. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, the other thing I was going to ask you too is like, because we sort of touched on a little bit around some of the diet or the weight loss or the weight management programs that are sort of out there. For a woman with ADHD, what would be like a piece of advice that you would give them? You know, if it's like, hey, I do need to lose some weight, or I want to have better decision-making around my weight loss management. That's maybe like for me, a better way of sort of saying it. What would be sort of like those first like one or two things that you would say, hey, consider this or try this approach?
Yeah. The very first thing I always tell people to do is just to get curious and observe themselves, because quite often we are kind of in patterns or have little habits that we're not aware of. And like typically for women, it's often or for people with ADHD, it's often a matter of like, you know, you're very reactive throughout the day. You wake up, you drink coffee, you forget to have your breakfast, you get stuck in your work. And then all of a sudden it's the afternoon and you're ravenous. And then you're just kind of like raiding the pantry all night. And you don't have food planned out and that kind of thing. So what I usually tell people to do is just in as non-judgmental way as possible, kind of observe your patterns with food, with water, with how you're getting sleep, just to kind of see if anything sticks out for you in terms of like, oh, I tend to skip this meal, or I tend to, you know, I don't get very much vegetables during the day, or whatever the case may be. And without judging yourself, to just see this, because if we don't see these things and if we're not aware of them, then we can't make any kind of change. So that's usually the first thing I tell people to do, is just to kind of, and I'm not saying like track your food or anything like that. It's just a matter of kind of observing yourself, getting a good idea of like where you're at and what are the habits and patterns. And as well as what's happening that might be driving these behaviors. And I mean, it's hard to do that right off the bat, but just if you do notice, I'm really stressed at this time of the day and then I tend to eat or something like that, can be super helpful.
So this time of the day, I have like no energy and I'm feeling really sluggish and I can't even get through a meeting or something.
Yes. Yeah. Because really, sometimes it's not as complicated as we think it might be. It could be just, you know what? I don't really get any protein in the morning. It could be as simple as that, right? Or I'm not getting a lot of fiber or something like that. So that is really the key for a lot of people, is just have developing that awareness so that you can find little areas where you can make little shifts in a positive way.
Awesome. So Jen, how can women work with you? Women that have ADHD, how can they work with you right now? What's some of the tools or offers that you have out there?
Yes. So right now I work with people one-on-one, but I'm in the process of developing a group program, because I think would be amazing for people with ADHD. And so like they can always just reach out to me, but right now I run, it's a 12-week program, one-on-one coaching. So that's what I'm doing right now, but I will be having this group program coming out hopefully within the next month or so. So
okay, cool. All right. Awesome. Yeah. And you also have a podcast. What's your podcast called and where can people find you?
Yes. Yes. So my podcast is called Losing Weight with ADHD. It's on all the podcast platforms. And you can find me, I'm mainly on Instagram. It's at jenniferwatts.ca. And there's a link in there. But just any of the podcast platforms, you can find me on there as well.
Okay, great. And then Jen, just as like, you know, again, this is sort of like behind the scenes, like with entrepreneurs, for people that are listening, it's like, this is what the X is all about. It's like, we sort of pull back the curtain a little bit and see what's happening. So if I was to see you as your newbie self, like when you first started your business, what advice would you be telling her, knowing what you know now about like running your business or where you're at in your business today?
You know what? I would just be telling her, just take messy action, because it's so easy in those moments to think, I don't know enough. I need to figure this out first. I've got to get it perfect before I try. No, I would tell her, just go for it. Just try, just take any kind of action. Of course you're going to make mistakes or something, but it's just getting going is like the best thing you can do. So that's 100% what I would tell her, is to stop trying to learn things and just get going.
Okay, awesome. And what's your go-to way to kind of like regulate yourself, get yourself calm, focused, you know, and this might be specific for folks with ADHD, but also just your kind of like inside scoop that you do for yourself.
It's walking. I love it. Going for walks is like my favorite thing in the world for so many reasons, like getting your body moving. I mean, that helps for people with ADHD with the dopamine, especially being in nature. It's so regulating. It regulates your nervous system, getting your blood going. And it's just, I love it. Put on a good podcast, go for a walk. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally believe like getting into nature, connecting in with the land. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes a lot of times we hear about like, you know, I mean, obviously mindset work, there's a lot of thought work in that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, you know, sitting there with a journal, a blank page, and trying to do thought work. It's like when your mind is racing, I find if I just go outside and breathe some fresh air, walk my dog, get outside, listen to the birds, you know, it's like, then I can come back and like do some of that thought work afterwards.
Oh yeah. So much clarity as well as creativity can happen when you're out there. So it's great. Yeah.
Okay. Jen, it's been awesome having you on today. Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Brenda. This was great.
And okay. So actually just one other last thing. So people can find you on Instagram at?
Yes. At jenniferwatts.ca.
Okay, perfect. And where's your website?
Oh, it's jenniferwattscoaching.com.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. We'll make sure that we have those all in the show notes. Take care. Okay.
Thanks.